This is the Full Press NBA Podcast.
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win!
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's on! It's on! Oh, my goodness!
Presented by Sportscaster.com and distributed by Snowman Digital Media.
Here's Carnes. Let's one go from center court.
He got it! He got it! He got it!
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Friday edition of the Full Press NBA Podcast. I'm Brian Snow, your NBA cheat sheet, and we got a lot to get to. It's going to be a full weekend of NBA games. I got a great guest for you in Danny Thompson, and just a whole lot of stuff as we continue to build this podcast. So let's get right down to it. Giannis Antetokounmpo dropped 33 points, grabbed 16 rebounds as the Bucks moved to 47-8 on the year. They smashed the Detroit Pistons 126-106. Trae Young is for real. He dropped 50 against the Miami Heat, and the Hawks win in Atlanta 129-124. Watch the Atlanta Hawks in the very near future. It was the Sixers over the Nets, 112-104. Joel Embiid, a season-high 39 points. He also grabbed 16 rebounds. Side note from this game, Kyrie Irving done for the year due to injury. It was the Hornets over the Bulls, 103-93. Monk had 25 points. Young picked up 22 points and 11 rebounds. Harrison Barnes with 7 of 11 from distance to help the Kings beat the Grizzlies 129-125 as Memphis is in a struggle for that number 8 spot. And the Houston Rockets finally get revenge against a depleted Golden State Warriors club. James Harden 29 points, 10 assists, and the Rockets made 25 from 3-point range as they beat the Warriors in San Francisco 135-105. Tonight's schedule, the Dallas Mavericks travel to Orlando to face the Orlando Magic. That's at 7 p.m. The Cleveland Cavaliers travel to Washington to take on the Wizards. That's also at 7. A half hour after that, the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks will battle it out. And the Phoenix Suns travel to Toronto to face the world champion Raptors. At 8 Eastern, the Boston Celtics and the Minnesota Timberwolves will tangle. So will the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. An hour after that, the San Antonio Spurs face the Utah Jazz. And an hour and a half after that, the Memphis Grizzlies and John Morant will face LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Los Angeles Lakers. And the New Orleans Pelicans and the Portland Trail Blazers will finish out the Friday schedule. We'll pause for a break, and when we come back, you'll hear a great conversation that I had with a cheat sheet that I use. His name is Danny Thompson, a very dear friend of mine. He is the host and the star of the Around the Association podcast, as well as Beyond the Buzzer. So sit back, relax, and strap it down for some great NBA conversation as he and I will talk post-All-Star game. That's after the break. You're listening to the Full Press NBA Podcast, presented by Sportscaster and distributed by Snowman Digital Media. Okay, folks, I've had some great guests on the show in the 6 years that I've been active in hosting this show. But this gentleman that I'm about to reintroduce to you guys, I had him on once, and that was a mistake because I should have had him on a lot more times. And now so much was going on with me off the mic. And then, you know, just recently I got married, moved to North Carolina. He and I finally are getting together to give y'all an education on the NBA. He is the host of Beyond the Buzzer and also the Around the Association podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my good brother, Danny Thompson. He joins me right now. It's good to talk to you, my friend. It has been a while.
Mr. Snow, it's a pleasure. And yes, it has been a while, but we're not, you know, after this conversation today, we will not make this a long-term not speaking again.
We won't. We won't. I mean, he paid me a great compliment before we came on, and he said to me, you know, it's good to see you come from nothing to be where you are now. And I say this to you, A, thank you, and B, we still have a couple of mountains to climb, because there's some stuff that we need to do. And I truly appreciate your words.
Hey, you know, the thing is, though, it's always uplift. You know, we always try to uplift one another no matter the situation. And the thing is, respect remains respect, and iron sharpens iron. So, we always have to uplift and motivate each other. And because we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all just trying to do this for a living and what we love to do. So I love it.
And I love it also. All right, man. I have picked on you mercilessly for many years now. This poor guy, I've picked on him, when he spreads his, you gotta go check out, the Around the Association podcast. I'm a faithful subscriber and listener. I love the podcast. I tease him mercilessly when it comes to the subject of the NBA because A, I like teasing him, and B, he usually knocks me down about five pegs with his knowledge, which is why I brought him on. And, like I said, we tease each other. We're brothers on the microphone. And man, again, it is great to have you on so we can get some NBA chatter going. I truly appreciate it.
Let's rock it, bro.
Let's rock it indeed. The second half of the season is here. And what I want to do, I want to pose some questions about some teams. And we'll start in the East. One of the teams that has been ballyhooed all season long, but in my eyes hasn't gotten to that level yet, is the Philadelphia 76ers. Here are my two reasons. Lack of a jump shot for Ben Simmons, lack of health for Joel Embiid. Your thoughts?
I wrote about this I posted an article about this on the website around the association yesterday. The Philadelphia 76ers are the Jekyll and Hyde of the NBA this season. And I say it this way, because at home, they are a monster. They're 25-2 at home this year.
Right.
But they're 9-19 on the road. It's one of the biggest differences in the NBA. And when I say differences is because they win by about 10 points a game at home. And they lose give up by 10 more points a game
on the road.
On the road.
what
for Sixers fans.
You would think they would be playing at the old Spectrum in Philadelphia the way they are at home. You'd think they'd be back at the Spectrum.
The crazy thing, they have a better home record than the Milwaukee Bucks, who is on pace to win 70 games this year.
That's frightening.
So the Sixers, the good news for Sixers fans is that acquiring Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III will help the bench. The other good part is they're now going to bring Al Horford off the bench, because when they traded for Al Horford, it was one of the most head-scratching moves of the entire summer.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have two guys. Now, mind you, Horford's a great passer, but Horford doesn't stretch the floor like most stretch fours do.
Yes.
So it didn't seem like it was a great fit. And yes, you're right. Ben Simmons still hasn't developed a jump shot, and we're still 5 years into this, and it's still not happening. I don't find it happening soon. The one thing with the Sixers is that they can get themselves in a playoff series. They match up very well with Boston.
Mm-hmm.
They match up very well with Miami.
Right.
They can mess with Toronto now, because Toronto doesn't have Kawhi Leonard. If they end up with Milwaukee, it's see you later.
Yeah.
They have no answer for Giannis. And I'll say this, the other part where the Sixers that's scary is that they miss Jimmy Butler more than you would think.
Well, yeah.
Because Jimmy Butler is a closer. Just like in the movie Boss Baby, ABC always be closing.
Mm-hmm.
The Sixers don't have that guy. And as much as I love Tobias Harris,
he ain't that closer.
He's not a closer.
He's not a closer.
He's a good ball player. But he's not a guy that I will sit here and say he will put fear in me at the end of games. And that's why the Sixers cannot get past maybe the second round or even the Eastern Conference Finals, depending on the matchup.
I don't see them going past the second round. I mean, the hell with the Eastern Conference Finals, unless Ben Simmons decides to become a closer like everybody's making him out to be, I don't see him getting out of the second round. I don't see it.
Josh Richardson better start hitting jump shots in the fourth quarter. That's all I'm saying.
Jeez, and y'all thought I was bad with some of these takes, okay? But it's truth, though. If you watch, it's truth. Now, I move to this question as we stay in the East. What the hell is wrong with Brooklyn? The AKA New Jersey Nets.
Well, let's do it this way. you know, Brooklyn, if you had the high expectations with Brooklyn when the season started, you're going to be highly disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because of Kyrie Irving, because your best player is coming off the most debilitating injury in the history of the NBA that has conquered more players than we can think of. And, you know, Snowman, you are an old school, you know, you're an old school fiend.
Yes.
The only player that ever survived the Achilles, is Dominique Wilkins.
Dominique Wilkins, yep. He went to play
in 94.
Yep, he played five more seasons after he came back from that injury.
And he averaged 30 points a game the year he came back.
Yep.
He's the only player to survive and become the player he was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not looking good for Kevin Durant. It has. So if you're expecting the Nets to do anything major this year, you should have been sadly mistaken. Now, Kyrie Irving was hurt the entire season. He hurt his shoulder early part of November. And now he took cortisone shots and will have to have surgery if he's not already had it. The Nets have a problem right now. And it's not because of Kyrie Irving. The Nets knew they weren't going to be no more than a seven seed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Nets' job is to basically avoid, and just like the Orlando Magic and other teams in the East, if you make the playoffs, avoid the eight seed. At least if you're at seven, you have a fighting chance to win a game or two in the playoffs. Because if you run into the buzzsaw up in Milwaukee, you're going to get destroyed in the first round.
Forget it.
It's a first round sweep.
Forget it.
Brooklyn now has a very interesting question in the offseason. With Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant coming back, okay, fully healthy, what to do with Spencer Dinwiddie? Spencer Dinwiddie, be honest with you, before Kyrie Irving returned to the lineup, was an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a guy that can give you 20 points a game, and he plays with so much, he plays hard every night.
Yes, he does.
Now when you get Kevin Durant coming back, you get Kyrie Irving coming back, you have Caris LeVert, what to do about Spencer Dinwiddie? That's the real question.
Yeah.
It's not like Brooklyn's going to do anything in the playoffs, let's be honest. They're a first-round snack.
Yes.
They're going to be a first-round snack for anybody, with or without Kyrie Irving. And I love Kyrie.
He said first-round snack.
They're going to be a first-round snack for whoever they end up with in the playoffs.
I know it. Oh, my Lord. I got to use that now. First-round snack. I bet you my wife's going to get a hold of this phrase, and she's going to use it on me one of these days. I absolutely know that's going to happen. Let's stay in the East, shall we?
By the way.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay. Let's stay in the East. Boston, Toronto. Do either one of those two get to the World Championship Series?
Both of them. Actually, no. The funny thing is we looked at Toronto when the season started. You're thinking they lost Kawhi Leonard, they lost Danny Green. Okay, they're going to be not so good. Kyle Lowry missed a whole bunch of time, and then Pascal Siakam might even be the most improved player for the second consecutive year in a row, which is almost unheard of.
Yeah.
Then there's a guy who was hitting big shots in the finals last year who took into Kyle Lowry's role, and that's Fred VanVleet.
Fred VanVleet.
The Raptors are the only team in the NBA that has built their team with guys from the G League and undrafted free agents. If you look at Keel guys rotation, mm-hmm. you look at Van Fleet who wasn't drafted. Pascal Siakam was a late first round pick
mm-hmm.
that was part of the G League team. You look at Chris Boucher, you look at Terrence Davis, you look at Norman Powell. If you want to go back and see how good the Raptors was, look at the team that Jeff Weltman and those guys built with Masai Ujiri.
Yeah.
Go back to Raptors 905. Which is their G League team that was coached by Jerry Stackhouse.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most dominating G League team in the history, I think, of that entire league. The Raptors, are fine. They're just, like the Boston Celtics, they're a matchup situation. Is the further you get away from Milwaukee and the longer you have to get to them, the better chance you have of getting to the conference finals.
Gotcha.
Boston has all the talent. The problem with Boston is that do they have enough rim protection? There is no Al Horford. There's no Aaron Baines.
Right.
Robert Williams has moments. Enes Kanter can't guard a can of paint. But Enes Kanter is good for a double-double. So that means you're relying on Daniel Tice and a whole bunch of other guys. Jason Tatum is a monster.
Yes.
Kemba Walker is perfect in the situation.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown could be an all-star for almost any other team.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon Hayward is back to being Gordon Hayward.
Yes.
The Celtics have everything, and Brad Stevens can coach one of the best OT after-timeout guys in the entire league.
Yes, he is.
Both of them are contenders. The longer you stay away from Milwaukee, the better.
So you think Milwaukee can actually get over the hump this time?
There's one team, and I'll say, I know you might think it'd be crazy, that should scare the Milwaukee Bucks in the playoffs.
And that team
without
is?
Looking at the top brackets. The Indiana Pacers.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
If Victor Oladipo rounds into form, you have Malcolm Brogdon, who was basically given away by the Bucks.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better than a playoff series than a guy who has motivation. We've seen this in every sport possible. The weakness of the Milwaukee Bucks, ironically, is their $18 to $20 million point guard, Eric Bledsoe.
Right.
Bledsoe has been eaten alive in the playoffs by point guards the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. How did Terry Rozier get a $58 million deal from Charlotte? Go back to 2 years ago when Kyrie Irving was hurt and Rozier became Scary Terry in that Bucks series.
Yep.
Eric Bledsoe's a very good point guard, but he gets eaten alive in the playoffs.
That he does.
It happens. And you have Malcolm Brogdon, you have Oladipo, you have TJ Warren, because when TJ Warren scores over 20 points, I think the Pacers are 17-3 this year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, well, I think I wrote about it on the website. They have Sabonis, who is an all-star, Miles Turner, who's one of the better rim protectors in the league, and don't forget about Aaron Holiday and Jeremy Lamb.
Right.
The Pacers can give the Bucks all types of fits.
Yep. They can give them the blues. They can really give the Bucks the blues.
They're dangerous.
Yeah.
But Oladipo has to round the form. Oladipo has not shot the ball very well. He's relying too much on that 3-point shot.
Yeah.
He's got to get his mind. And I know it's difficult coming off that injury. It's been 12 months. He's going to have to get his aggression back. We got 6 weeks.
Yeah.
If he gets that aggression back by early April, and the Pacers can get out of round one with a second round matchup with the Bucks,
it's on and popping. It's on and popping. With Indiana, and I'm really pulling for the Indiana Pacers. I got quite a few reasons. A lot of them are old school reasons, but I'm really pulling for the for the Indiana Pacers. Final question on the Eastern Conference: Who gets that number 8 spot?
The question is, who really wants the 8 spot? because here's the thing: I was writing about it on the website for the you're down to about maybe 3 or 4 teams in that 7-8 fight. Mm-hmm. Okay, Brooklyn's got the advantage. Orlando's at 8. Orlando's 3 games in front of Washington, who's also right in front of Chicago.
Yes.
The thing is, Orlando has one of the easier schedules down the stretch.
Right.
The problem with Orlando is that Evan Fournier has been really good. Vucevic is pretty much doing the same thing he did last year, but Terrence Ross is still playing from 2 years ago.
Right.
This is not the same Terrence Ross that was finding and hitting everything.
Yes.
Markelle Fultz has been better than advertised.
Mm-hmm.
The Magic don't have their best defensive player. Their 2 best defensive players are out the rest of the season. There's no more Jonathan Isaac the rest of the year. Don't expect him to come back. Al Fulcamino has been out since November.
Yeah.
The Magic right now are playing a situation where Aaron Gordon is playing basically power forward, and they're going to have to start James Ennis because Wes Iwundu and whoever they put at small forward is not working because you have to keep Ross coming off the bench because you're running out of firepower. On top of that, the Washington Wizards, ironically, have a good chance of making the playoffs. But if you're the Wizards, do you really want to make the playoffs?
The
Wizards,
Washington,
they're 3 games behind the Magic.
You mean the Washington Bullets are Wizards?
Listen, the team that used to play in Landover. That team, yes, there's three games behind the Orlando Magic right now for the 8th spot in the playoffs.
You touched my heart with that statement. You touched my heart with that statement. Bring it up the old Capitol Center.
Yes, the old Capitol Center with the old Bullets jerseys watching Rasheed Wallace and Chris Webber play together.
Rasheed Wallace, Chris Webber, where John Thompson would roam when he coached Georgetown.
Yes. But no, but to be honest with you, you got Bradley Beal, who's still mad about making the All-Star team, averaging 29 points a game. Davis Bertans has basically proven the fact of he's more than just a system player in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the best 3-point shooters in the league. Rui Hachimura has played really well. Thomas Bryant. They've gotten guys who can play the game. Washington could sneak in if Orlando can't find ways to score the basketball.
True.
Orlando's the worst scoring team in the NBA.
Yep.
The thing is, and the one thing that Steve Clifford had his hat on was defense. The Magic defense is not the same as it was last year. They have to go on a run. The only team that's in the race is the Chicago Bulls, ironically. I know your old hometown Chicago Bulls.
Yep.
As bad as the defense has been, as many injuries the Bulls have, they're within 5 games of the Magic. Okay, you can't.
And they
Detroit,
can get on a run. They have the tool. It's just the
just
Bulls
have
been. Yeah, they got to get some help. They gotta get some help. It's the Bulls have been so beat up. Yeah. They've been so beat up this part of the season up until the All-Star break. Oh my goodness.
I think, Carter's missed 20 games. Marquez missed about 10. They're without Chris Dunn. Otto Porter's been gone since the 10th game of the season. So they've missed a lot of guys this year.
Yeah, they have.
Now, and here's the thing. Chicago, Washington, is it really worth potentially losing a top five pick? Because the way the lottery set last year, you can finish anywhere and end up potentially high with a high draft choice. Is it worth it to go on a run and become a first round snack once again for the Milwaukee Bucks? I think it's going to be Brooklyn. I think it's going to be Orlando.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't shock me if Washington caught Orlando, because outside of Chicago, the rest of the teams in the East aren't going to do much damage, because Clint Capella is going to be out for an extended period of time in Atlanta. And there's a dumpster fire going on in New York, a dumpster fire going on in Cleveland, and a dumpster fire going on in Detroit. And Charlotte, Charlotte can't seem to get themselves out the way of the fourth quarter. They play good for three quarters, but somehow can't keep things together in the fourth quarter, and they're not consistent. So that's your Eastern Conference, pretty much in a nutshell.
And Zach LaVine beat them with a buzzer beater in Charlotte earlier this year.
Yeah, but that's also the same game that the Hornets had a 10-point lead with 4 minutes left in the game. They're used to it.
Oh, they had a 10-point lead with a 10-point lead with 65 seconds left. They had a 10-point lead in that game against the Bulls with 65 seconds left, and the Bulls caught them and passed them, thanks to Zach LaVine.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Zach LaVine turned to Reggie Miller. I understand. I'm a diehard Hornets fan when I'm not covering the league. It is what it is. I'm used to it.
I love it. All right, let's go to the Western Conference. And I'll begin with this question. And it's a question that people hate asking. Hell, people at work hate me asking this question, but it's a true one that needs to be posed. Do the Lakers have enough to get to the Western Conference Finals, let alone the World Championship Series?
Yes. They have even with the point guard situation not being where it is, and the Lakers not having a consistent outside threat that scares you. The fact of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, let's just say they're the best duo in the league. I mean, even better than the duo that shares the same building. The only difference is that the Lakers need Kyle Kuzma to do something and find himself. The Lakers do have they do have a wild card. DeMarcus Cousins is back practicing and getting himself in shape with a potential return in April. If DeMarcus Cousins can come back in some shape or form, he's not playing heavy minutes. Dwight Howard's been playing well, and they had JaVale McGee. But Cousins gives them another weapon. The Lakers better hope they can find somebody in the next 12 days that can either help the point guard situation or find them a long-range shooter. Maybe a J.R. Smith, maybe Deion Waiters. I know those aren't really, really scaryful names, but it's just depth.
I'm sorry.
The Lakers need all the help they can get.
You had me laughing mentioning J.R. Smith. The last time he played with LeBron was 2018, and we know how that turned out.
Listen, but J.R. Smith provides something the Lakers do not have enough consistency of. Is a guy who can knock. I mean, as much as we laugh at J.R. Smith for the timeout, and we laugh at, you know, other things J.R. Smith does off the court, wearing no shirt on a regular basis, that's fine. But when J.R. Smith is dialed in and he's actually on the court, J.R. Smith is a lightning rod. When he hits a jump shot or two, he's one of the more dangerous shooters in the league. I'll be honest with you. If I'm the Lakers and can't find a point guard, there's one sitting in Seattle right now that is clamoring for a job. His name is Jamal Crawford.
Yeah.
Someone needs to go make that phone call.
I still think
they're the favorites to win the whole thing, actually.
Somebody needs to make a phone call and say, hey, bring back the Seattle Supersonics. But then I digress.
Go get the arena first.
Yeah, I know. Quit reminding me of that. Just let me dream for a couple of moments about the return of the Seattle Supersonics. Who's the Lakers snack in the first round? Who gets that number eight spot? Who becomes a snack for the Lakers in the first round of the West playoffs?
I don't know if it's a snack, because the Memphis Grizzlies are really good.
Yeah, that they are.
But the Portland Trail Blazers are starting to get their health back. Jusuf Nurkić and Zach Collins are due back sometime in the first couple days of March. If the Blazers get those two guys back, it's going to basically strengthen a rotation that's very thin outside of Hassan Whiteside.
Yep.
You get Collins back, you get Nurkić back. Even if they're not playing heavy minutes, the fact that it's able bodies.
Mm-hmm.
We all know how dangerous Damian Lillard is.
Yes.
And CJ McCollum.
And they've missed Nurkic.
Even though Whiteside's been really good, better than advertised.
Yeah.
They're not very deep on that front line. They had to use Kyle Lebeson. They had Tom Dandy's rookie Nazir Little at that four position. Carmelo Anthony played a lot before. He played really well.
Yeah.
The thing is, without Zach Collins on the floor to grab rebounds and hit jump shots and Nurkic being able to be a bully in the paint, you put Nurkic and you put Whiteside together as a duo.
Yeah.
Collins and you have Carmelo at the four.
Mm-hmm.
The Blazers become much deeper. They acquire Ariza. I think they got Ariza as well too.
Yeah.
The Blazers are starting to get home. If they're within five games, within three or four games of the Grizzlies, they can make a run at this because Damian Lillard is the difference between the Blazers and the Grizzlies. Is that as good as John Morant is, he's not a superstar. Damian Lillard is. There becomes the difference.
Yeah, that is the difference.
Also, don't sleep on the New Orleans Pelicans. They're five games out. But the Pelicans are getting healthy.
But how far can Zion carry them? There's my question. My question lies with Zion. How far can he carry them?
I think Zion, it's not about the fact Zion carrying them. It's how much can Brandon Ingram carry and Drew Holiday carry them.
Gotcha.
You know, Zion's going to be that guy, but Brandon Ingram's an all-star. Drew Holiday was considered to be an all-star. The Pelicans have a lot of things to concern themselves with,
mm-hmm.
but one thing you have to realize is that, and I know, Snowman, you're all about numbers. You're all about, like, trends.
You know how I am.
The Pelicans are going to have to start winning games, but here's a magical number for the Memphis Grizzlies. It's the number 20. The Grizzlies are 17-1 when Dylan Brooks scores 20 or more points in a game.
Really?
They have beaten the Rockets. They've beaten the Jazz. They've beaten Denver. And they've beaten the Clippers this season when Dylan Brooks has scored 20 points. If he gets 20 points down the stretch, like the old saying, law is law, it's a wrap. Like when the Clippers get to 100, first team gets to 100, it's mm-hmm. a wrap.
Okay.
If Brooks gets to 20, by rule, the Grizzlies are almost unstoppable. And the thing. As long as Dylan Brooks is scoring, the Grizzlies will retain eight, but Damian Lillard is too dangerous. So I need to know when Nurkic and Collins is coming back. If it's early March, then I think the Blazers got a shot at this. But otherwise, it's Memphis is going to be a first-round opponent for the Lakers.
Last question. How big of a dumpster fire is it in Houston?
Houston's not a dumpster fire. And I'll tell you this for the reason being. When they acquired DeMar Carroll and they acquired Jeff Green within the last 48 hours, it's now the point where my article's coming out tomorrow about this. It's about, okay, who's the backup center? Because PJ Tucker is the starting center right now. The backup center right now, I guess Jeff Green is going to be DeMar Carroll. I don't think they're going to dust off Tyson Chandler, and Hartenstein is not going to make much of a difference in the playoffs. Yes, it's going to hurt they didn't go get somebody with a little bit more size. It wouldn't shock me if they went and got Kenny Freedom in the next 10 days to do something. It's not a dumpster fire because the problem is, for every team in the West, with the exception of the Dallas Mavericks, who is going to be able to outshoot the Houston Rockets in the playoff series? Especially if they're hitting shots. If Harden and Gordon and Covington, and they're all hitting shots, Austin Rivers. I'm even saying Austin Rivers in this. I'm really, like, scaring myself. you have all these guys hitting shots. One team.
Yeah, you know how you scared yourself? You said if. You put the words if and Rockets in the same sentence.
Listen, we've seen more interesting groups with the Rockets before, and they've gotten deep in the playoffs.
True.
The Rockets get the right matchup. Let's say they end up with Utah in round one. They can outshoot the Jazz in round one because the thing is, if you're spreading the floor, that means you're not really trying to deal with Rudy Gobert, which takes away the Jazz's best weapon on defense. That means you're making Donovan Mitchell and Joe Ingles and those guys have to defend on the perimeter and deal with James Harden. You can beat the Jazz in the first round series. Okay, let's just say you end up with Dallas in the first round.
Right.
Dallas is the only team in the NBA that can shoot with the Rockets. Dallas is the NBA's best 3-point shooting team.
Mm-hmm.
They have four guys that average over two 3-pointers made a game.
Mm-hmm.
You got four of them. Okay. That's a different matchup. Can they beat a team like Denver in the playoffs? Unless Gary Harris can find himself, Denver can't go past. Gary Harris has been bad this year.
Yeah, he has.
Denver has every other piece to be a team in the finals. You have an all around stud at center. You have a lead guard that's not scared the moment. Jamal Murray. We saw him in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
He took his game to another level. You have veterans who are interchangeable that do the little things, and Paul Millsap and Jeremy Grant and Plumlee. You got a sharp suit. You have a human torch off the bench and Will Barton.
Right.
The only thing they're missing is Gary Harris is one of the best defenders in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Harris has to hit shots.
True.
If he's hitting shots, then Denver is dangerous in the playoffs. They can beat the Clippers. They can beat the Lakers in the playoff series. But Gary Harris has to hit shots.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the difference between Denver making the finals and being eliminated. But yeah, the team like I said, I'm looking forward to in the playoffs. I want to see what Luka does in Dallas, but that's another story for another day.
We'll talk Luka next time, man. Thank you so much for coming on to the program. This is Danny Thompson. Check him out, folks, Around the Association podcast and Beyond the Buzzer. And I think I'm going to have to throw my spider webs and yank him in each week for some more NBA conversation. If he's interested, I'd love to have you, man. I would love to have you.
We'll get the schedule together, brother. It's all rough.
We will get it together. Thanks a lot, my man. Appreciate the time.
Always.
That'll do it for this edition of the Full Press NBA Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear previous episodes, log on to fullpresscoverage.com and subscribe to the Full Press NBA Podcast wherever you get your podcast outlets, be it Apple, Google, Spotify, all of your favorite podcast outlets. Listen to me and all of my buddies as we talk everything NBA and take you to and through the NBA World Championship Series and the regular season within. My time is up. I will talk to y'all tomorrow on the NBA on the Full Press NBA Podcast. I'm sorry I messed that up. So long, everybody.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Snowman Digital Media. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
1 second remaining in the regular season, possibly. Out to Kobe.
What a way to finish! Are you kidding me?
Curry comes to the ball. Goes to the corner. Catches. Works up Pondexter. Fade away. Three. Short. Rebound. Fade. Curry in the corner. Shoots. On the way. Got it! He hit it!
They get it to Fisher.
He scores! Oh, Derek Fisher scores at the buzzer.
And it goes to Bird. Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's gone!
All right. It's win or lose. Game six for the Bulls. 10 seconds. And with it, of course, the championship. Jordan, 20-footer, head of the key, good! Chicago by one, and the Utah Jazz take time. Michael Jordan from the top of the key to put the Bulls up 87-86.
For more information, log on to snowmandigitalmedia.com.